from the new recording lair located deep beneath the Wine and Spirit store in Ephrata, Pennsylvania.
You're listening to the Masonic Light Podcast.
Studio 665 presents Masonic Light Podcast. This show is recorded by Masons, for Masons, and is for entertainment purposes only. And please, no wagering.
This podcast is not endorsed by any Grand Lodge, and the ridiculous ramblings of the hosts are their own. And now, here's your host.
Yay! Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Masonic Light Podcast.
Woot, woot.
Episode number 175.
God, that's it. We're it. We're done.
You know what?
That's it.
We're almost.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Maybe.
Okay. You have to do more?
Mom, they're making me do more.
So tonight we have a full house, although it's a different full house tonight. The regulars, me, Jack, and Josh. And then we've got Ricky Martini back in the chair for Larry Maris.
I will do my best to fill his
You have to
role.
Screech your voice.
What?
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 It's the Masonic, the Blue Lodge.
That's close. All right. Not quite as good. All right. We have Jake Young. Welcome back, Jake. And Jack, you want to introduce our special guest of the evening?
Our special guest is Senior Deacon of Ephrata Lodge, number 665, Jay Lammy. Jay, say hello to the peoples.
Hello, peoples. It's great to be here. I don't have a good Maris impression, but
all right.
I'm looking forward to having fun.
We're glad to have you here. Tonight, we're going to talk about Masonic travel and probably some other stuff that comes up along the way.
Yeah, we do wander sometimes.
We do tend to wander. But before we go further, we want to thank our sponsors.
Yes, yes, we do.
Of which we have a growing number. Actually,
yes.
We've got an email about another new one that we have to talk about. George J. Grove and Sons.
As always.
Hireman Solomon Cigars.
As
they're awesome.
Yes. Scott Helm Electric.
As always.
Intermezzo by Stephanie. Yeah.
Look it up online, people.
Yeah, check it out.
Buy some chocolate.
Great chocolate.
Your wife called. She wants you to buy chocolate.
Well, you got Mother's Day coming up, too.
That's right.
So right?
Perfect. Perfect.
If you're going to get it for Mother's Day, you better hurry, though.
Yep.
The chocolate is real, and it's delicious.
Yes. And there's none here tonight. And there's none here tonight.
She is taking care of our grandbaby
right now. All right. And then our newest sponsor, Two Pillars Apparel. And you'll hear more from them a little later. But most importantly, we want to thank our patrons on Patreon,
and we do. We thank you.
We've run some numbers, and we're very pleased with the number of supporters we have on Patreon. And for as little as $1 a month,
just $1,
a stinking dollar,
just one
$12 a year,
$1.
If every listener contributed $1 on Patreon,
yep.
We would be multi-trillionaires.
Yes.
Because Larry has us on like seven continents. And
he has a budget for this.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So he's, we're pretty sure he's hit his sales numbers. But
that's right. So now, if you'd like to join that.
In all seriousness.
Yep.
To the Patreon listeners. And we've met a lot of you.
Yep.
We've traveled around. And we've met you and we've thanked you. But most importantly, this show really couldn't happen. I mean, for the first couple of years, we were going out of pocket on every episode.
Right.
So we really do appreciate the help and we love doing it. So
we keep our microphones tuned in. We keep our headsets from peeling in our ears.
I hate when that happens.
We keep Larry in a supply of cough syrup so his voice is less crackly. So we greatly appreciate
it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We do want to send a reminder. By the way, go to patreon.com/Masonic Light Podcast.
Is that a forward slash?
That is, I don't know. It's one of those
slash. It's one of those slash things.
All right. I never know if it's
patreon.com/.
It goes this way. Masonic Light Podcast.
Masonic Light Podcast.
And just a reminder, if you are a Patreon supporter, you may have gotten an email from us this week. If you did, get the email from us, it means that you've been a Patreon supporter for a long, long time, and we greatly appreciate that.
I love you long time.
But if you got the email this week, it means your credit card expired. So go in and update it so you can continue to support us for a dollar a month. So episode number 175, what have we been doing Masonically since we last gathered? Jack Harley, I ask you.
Well, I defer to my brother Jay Lammy, who will describe in detail our trip to Garibaldi Lodge in New York.
Okay.
So hit it.
So the 5th District put out a notice about a bus trip to Manhattan, New York, to visit the Grand Lodge building and Garibaldi Lodge. I forget the number.
Number 542.
Thanks, Jack.
542. Oh, my God.
And they put on an entire degree in Italian.
Awesome.
Nobody there spoke Italian except for
the people conferring.
I'm not even sure the candidates. I think 4 out of the 9 spoke Italian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a pretty good guess, I think.
But they put on a hell of a show. You know, it's theatrical, it's ritual, it's symbolic. It's something to see.
It is a show. That's for sure.
If you get a chance, it's free. Like, you pay for the bus ticket, it was like $40 or something. But for an evening of entertainment and a really late morning arrival, and I say that because I went to Washington, D.C. at 5 o'clock that morning
the next day.
So I got no sleep, but I do have some Masonic stuff for down there if we can talk about that at some point.
It's Masonic travel.
But the Garibaldi Lodge, if you ever get a chance to go up, the building's beautiful. The brothers are awesome. It's just a good time all the way around. And there was 1,000 Masons
at that meeting.
This meeting.
Yeah. Very cool.
And it was really, really interesting.
So let me ask you this, because I've been to Teutonia Lodge up in Reading when they do their Past Masters Night, which is really cool. If you've never been there, that's another good place. They do it in German.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're doing Pennsylvania ritual in German, I know exactly where they are in the ritual, even though I don't understand a word of what they're saying.
Right. Now, see, I understand German. I speak German.
Okay.
I have a German.
So then you should go visit that.
I would like to.
Were you able to follow the ritual in Italian in New York?
I would say no.
Okay.
To be honest, I mean, I speak a tiny bit of Italian.
Yeah.
And I could catch words, because if you have a really good English vocabulary, you can almost make out the Latin roots of the words that they're talking about, right? So you can hear words that are being said, and you kind of think, okay, he must be talking about promising to do this or that, right? So you can kind of catch a little bit of that. If you speak Spanish, you're in like Flynn, because they're similar enough that, it's there was a fellow on the bus who was native Spanish speaker, and he's like, oh, yeah, I could follow that, like, no problem.
So I got to tell you about a dirty trick we played on a friend that went with us to Teutonia. And if speaking German, you'll know what the real word is supposed to be. But we told him going up that the word for worshipful master in German was Jägermeister. And so he should stand up and say, Herr Jägermeister. And he did it. And of course, the whole room just, it's not Jägermeister.
But it could be, didn't it?
Oh, it was great. It was great. So what is the real word in German? Do you know?
For worshipful master?
Yeah.
I do not.
Okay. Guys in Teutonia, send the email to MasonicLightPodcast at gmail.com.
Drop a voice message.
Yeah. Because they fussed at all of us that night, but that was fun.
But no, the ritual is different enough. Yeah. I'm not even sure it followed Preston Webb.
Okay.
But it was, you know, what they promised to do is what we promised to do.
Okay.
The punishment for failing to uphold that was
same.
You know, this similar to ours. So the format, the structure was different. They gave a lot of instruction on the floor after the meeting.
Okay.
This is what this meant. This is when we did this. This is what that was. And so there's a lot of that.
And they had cue cards. So they had 3 sections.
To cue the audience.
Oh, okay.
For reaction. One was like clap on your knees. The other one was jiggle your keys. And the other one was silence, I believe.
Yes.
So there was some participation.
Audience participation.
So that was kind of neat and different. But
I've always liked the idea of, without getting into details, one of those punishments being administered and someone going, well, actually, this isn't quite right.
All right. So anything else going on in your Masonic world recently?
I went down to Washington, D.C. the day after, on Saturday, and I visited the Library of Congress.
Oh, cool. Ooh.
Never been there before. And I was doing the tour. They have a standard tour.
Yep.
And the tour is pretty much let you in the door and walk around.
Great.
And they have people in there telling you different things.
Don't touch this. Don't touch that. Don't touch
that. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And lots of security and whatnot. They have an entire wing dedicated to Freemasonry.
Really?
Eastern Star, Grotto.
You're kidding.
It's not half of what you see in the open part, but it's probably a third.
Cool. Wow,
it is fantastic.
Let's put a pin in that and come back to that. That sounds like a good piece.
Awesome.
All right, Jack, can I come back to you?
Yeah, not too much beyond that. Okay. Just we conferred 2 second degrees.
Uh-huh.
Which were kind of residual from the
leftovers,
old days,
leftovers
guys that were still in the pipeline.
Yeah,
so we did 2 seconds, and that was great. I and then Garibaldi, and that's kind of been it. Other than meeting, I'm working with several of the officers in Ephrata Lodge to kind of help bring our line up to where it needs to be to continue next year. So. That's it. That's what I do.
All right. Ricky.
Yeah, I've been very busy outside of the Masonic.
So this is just about Masonic stuff.
Schedule, so.
Not much Masonically, then.
Not much. Okay. Not much.
Jake.
Nothing to report.
Okay. See, that's
not for the last couple, not for the last 2 months. Okay. I've just been swamped.
Okay. Well, you'll get back into it here soon.
Joshy.
When we close out tonight's episode, I know one thing you're going to, so we'll talk about that later. Joshy.
I, of course, did the episode.
And thank you. Thank you very much for that, because you had to work hard on the last one.
It was very difficult, very, very difficult. And I listened to a couple of voicemails from Secretary Rob.
Did you really?
Yeah. And that's about it.
How was that?
Secretary Rob. Oh, they were very nice voicemails. He does a good job.
Okay.
It's much better than what we used to have.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like a side episode that we could do here.
I know that when I used to use the column all and I would read the message that I wrote, it was always very funny when I would listen to it. Because it would come to me, too, and I would hear myself.
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious.
So I've been only slightly busy. Forever it feels like I've been doing lodge audits and... That has continued, sad to report. Still lodges out there that need to get their audits done. Harrisburg Lodge of Perfection met last Friday, where we were honored to have the Sovereign Grand Commander of the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite, Walt Wheeler, came and visited with us. And then the next day, we went to the Lancaster Lodge of Perfection's 100th anniversary?
150.
Sorry. Didn't mean to cheat you out of 50 years.
How come I knew that?
Yeah, I'm sure. They did a reunion, and they did a banquet, and a good time was had by everybody that was there. Good time. Good job, Lancaster Lodge of Perfection. Harrisburg Council number 7, of which I am thrice illustrious master of this year, conducted my first meeting of the year.
You did a really good job, Tim.
That was interesting. So for my program, I do want to share this because we got such great feedback. I really think that it's one that we could be replicated in a lot of places. We literally did our program before the meeting started where we called all of our 104 members on the phone, or at least the ones we had phone numbers for.
What was that reaction, Tim?
It was awesome. I mean, we spoke to some older folks that we hadn't seen forever. Some I didn't even know. They had been that long since they'd been there, but to a person. They were thankful that they'd gotten a phone call from the council. One gentleman that I spoke to, one brother who's past commander-in-chief of Harrisburg, said to me, he says, I really wish every Masonic body would do this.
So as a gross estimate.
Yeah.
What would be gross?
What would you say is the percentage of numbers that were still valid?
Out of the 103 that we had, I would say probably 95 of them were good.
Wow.
Which was better than I thought going
in. That's way better than I would expect.
Yeah.
Good.
We did discover that four of them had graduated to the Celestial Lodge above.
Okay.
Which was good because we could clean up our records.
Mm-hmm.
We did have some numbers that we've still got to go chase down and figure out where they are. I don't think anybody had done that in a long time in council because they don't have a central database.
You know, this is the thing about having lodges that have 650 members.
Right.
You know, you can't commit to touching base with everybody in that lodge on a regular basis. You got to
au contraire.
You have to break it down. I know you're in the magic lodge.
Here we that go. Does
okay. But most lodges, yeah. I mean, you can't afford, you know, if you're a working stiff in the East, you can't afford to sit down and spend, you know, 3 weeks dialing everybody. And
just correct. But I think it is a worthy activity.
It's worth trying to do.
Yeah. Yes. You know, have a gathering on a Saturday or something.
My argument was more for splitting lodges and creating more smaller lodges where we can all know each other.
Understand.
This is an excellent use for Masonic AI.
Ooh, that sounds like a topic for discussion.
If you maybe want to volunteer your time to create that robot, then
we says. Will.
That wasn't even a funny laugh. That was kind of scary, actually.
Eureka West Shore Lodge number 302's past masters had their spring gathering. We have two gatherings a year. The one in the fall is where we hear from the senior warden about his programs for the following year and find out how we can best help him and that kind of thing. The one in the spring is purely social. We gather at a local watering hole and have a good time together. And I'm happy to report that that occurred.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. And then this past weekend, the Pennsylvania Council of Deliberation met for officer training of all the Scottish Rite Valleys across the state of Pennsylvania. They actually did a really effective job. The team that put the training together were people only had to go to their own valley. So we had folks calling in from Erie and people from Philly and all over. And then, of course, I was in Harrisburg, and we coordinated all of that through Zoom. The morning 3 hours was spent kind of on some stuff that was important to everyone, and then in the afternoon, the individual valleys did their own trainings for their own lodge officers, so that was really good as well. So, busy time, as they all are, it seems like, anymore. All right, so let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back tonight and talk about Masonic travel after we hear from our good buddy, Larry Maris.
Why choose George J. Grove & Sons for your next home improvement project? At George J. Grove & Sons, we've built our reputation on quality and trust for more than 50 years. From planning to materials to installation, George J. Grove promises a home improvement experience second to none. Whether your goal is reducing energy costs, decreasing maintenance, updating curb appeal, or simply increasing the value of your home, the George J. Grove team will recommend and provide solutions that stand the test of time. Call 717-393-0859 for an estimate or visit us at georgejgrove.com.
All right, and we're back, and we're usually when we come back after the first break, we introduce our guest and have a little spiel with the guest and we do have a couple of guests tonight, but it's more about the topic.
You're not going to read a resume?
No, I'm not going to read a 20-minute resume before I let the guest speak.
What?
The topic for the night is, because Jay and I went on this trip to Garibaldi, the topic is Masonic travel. Have you traveled? Where did you travel? What did you find different that was interesting? What was, you know, just talking general about Masonic travel. And one question that I would ask Jay because Jay is a fairly new Mason. Here I'm going into the resume here.
Just how long have you been a
Mason? Sorry, Larry. I can't talk, Larry.
Coming up on 2.5 years, yeah. 3 years.
Yeah. So how did you become a Mason?
My grandfather died in 99.
Yeah.
So a Masonic funeral, had no idea, 20 years of thinking about it.
Wow.
And I joined Ephrata because I'm from here.
Cool. Sorry, Jack. Didn't mean to steal your thunder.
I'm sorry. What's your name? No, that's it. We just wanted to talk about it. But because you're relatively new,
sure,
and jumped immediately into a chair, which, yep, is awesome, and I think you're enjoying that.
Very much so.
But to travel, and you, I was your mentor, so that was heavily pushed. So where else have you gone besides Garibaldi?
So I like to travel in general. I do missions trips internationally every other year, and I do an national trip every year. And I travel for work also sometimes. So I was in Cusco, Peru, my year and a half in with Freemasonry. So I looked up the lodges, and I got a travel thing from the Grand Lodge before I went.
So let's be specific about that. The travel thing from the Grand Lodge. What?
So you have to ask your worshipful master and secretary to request a document, and I'm sure it's just a standard document that pretty much the worshipful Grand Master and the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania give you permission to visit whatever jurisdiction you're going to.
Right. It's called a Masonic passport. Is what it says on the thing.
Pretty yes. Much. That is correct.
And you should get one if you're traveling internationally. And
you really know you're should. Going to lodge. Even though you don't think you're going to go to a lodge, if you're traveling, especially internationally, yeah, you really should ask. And your secretary can get that for you. In most cases, they'll ask the Grand Lodge, and then they'll just tell the secretary to type this up as this and put the seal on it and, yep, go.
Yeah, so that's all it is, a piece of paper so with a seal.
Did you get into Lodge down there?
I emailed them. I called them like 6 months in advance, and nothing. I get down there on a Sunday. Monday, I don't know how they found out where I was. They showed up at my hotel and said, do you want to go to Lodge?
Where was this?
Cusco, Peru.
Oh, yeah.
So these little yeah, Peruvians, four of them in, yeah, a caddy. It was awesome. they showed up and they said, do you want to go to Lodge? And they showed me a ring and I'm like, sure, why not? What could happen? people are kidnapped down there all the time, this and that. But anyway, so I got in and we had an absolute fantastic night. It was sort of like Garibaldi. They did not speak a lick of English except for the one guy, mm-hmm, in the car. He, mm-hmm, knew some English. I knew no Spanish, or very little. So we did Google Translate, but you could tell the ritual, like what they were doing, mm-hmm, where they were at, and it was very theatrical. It was way more theatrical than Garibaldi.
Oh, really?
It was like they had costumes and they had, you know, dances, and I mean, it was fantastic. It was fun. Out of this world for what Pennsylvania does.
Cool.
But other than that, that was a highlight of my travel. I've been to a lodge in Texas, Florida, North Carolina, and recently I was down in Mississippi for work, and I hit two lodges down there.
Wow, that's cool.
So I try to go everywhere I go. I just look up the local lodges. I send emails out. I check when their meetings are. And if I don't go to the lodge, I usually have a brother or two that just wants to talk to me because I'm in the area. And that's what you do.
And now they'll call you because you were on the Masonic Light podcast. Because
I certainly hope so.
You're regionally famous in one small section of the universe. So, Jake, you have traveled. I know you've been down to see Timmy in Florida, right?
I have. A little bit of news from Tim, actually. This is just related to that. He's Lodge 362 down there in Fort Myers Beach. Okay. They just finished repairing all the damage from Hurricane Ian. I was talking to him about that this weekend.
They did
a bunch of work repairing siding and roofing. I shouldn't say all. I don't know. I know they did a bunch of, mm-hmm, building repair, so it looks like they're getting back on their feet after that, and that's awesome to hear and good to see. When I was down in Florida with him, I went to Cypress Lodge. They were really welcoming. That's a Naples Lodge. I've traveled with you. For grotto purposes, we went to up to Poughkeepsie for the tribe op-ed.
Tripobed.
Poughkeepsie.
I like yours better. Poughkeepsie.
Pete and I went up to visit. We visited with Nava Grotto and some of the Masonic bodies up that way when we went to MasonicCon. Mm-hmm. Actually, that was, I want to say, 8 years ago today would have been that trip.
Is that the one?
Wasn't there a non-disclosure agreement signed?
There was. Okay.
Is that where Pete offended the Grandmaster of Connecticut?
Pete offended, it was Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Was it Rhode Island? I found something interesting fact about Rhode Island. It's actually 3% larger at low tide.
Yes. Okay. And a special hello to all of our brothers in the Grand Lodge of Rhode Island.
We're going
to
get email.
I've traveled with Tim.
We can't talk about that either.
Williamsport. We can't talk about any of that. It's all under seal. And that's the real, for me, is the great part of these trips. I love seeing what the different lodges do. I know when you head to the Midwest or you head up north, things like Grotto get a little more serious, more structured. But you get to see some really cool lodge buildings. You get to meet some really awesome brothers. And the kind of fun you can get into if you're open-minded and willing to just go with the flow of wherever the after meeting takes you, you can end up in some cool spots talking to some guys you'd never have guessed.
This part is under seal, so let's be careful of that.
How far
you go there.
The fact that we joke about it being under seal, though, just speaks to how memorable these pages are. Because there's no risk of us forgetting them.
That's for sure.
So, yeah.
At least the parts we remember.
Masonic travel is always rewarding, and it's if you're traveling anyway, it's a nice way to add some structure to your trip where you know you're going to do this thing.
Something
known to you but also new. And anywhere I go, I try to get into the lodge and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. It's worth doing. I'm surprised that more people don't do it, but a lot of people don't. A lot of guys, you know, they go to their own home lodge for a couple of years and then they kind of peter out on that. But traveling is just opens up so many fun new things. Have you traveled much, Ricky, out of
not too much. I mean, Maryland. I've been to Maryland a lot. They do things a little differently, but the degrees are good. I like how their master sits most of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I like that part.
You wish.
That happens everywhere but Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And, you know, I think most of the times when I go on trips and vacations, it's like I look at the calendar, I Google, who has, stated meetings, and, nobody during that time frame has any.
Ever, yeah. Right? You always miss it by a day one way
it's
or the
hit
other.
Or miss.
Yeah. You either got to go the first week of the month or you're
I've been. Nice. I went three times to a customer out in Ohio, in Hebron, Ohio, and three times I've been there the day after a stated meeting. I can't just go a day early.
I'll tell you though, you even you talk about Masonic travel on it, but people go to different states and stuff. But you go to different lodges in PA. sometimes it's a foreign country.
That is more true than we would like, my brother.
People don't realize, if you're not from Pennsylvania, everything west of the Susquehanna is a different country from where you are east.
Without a doubt.
It is.
No doubt about it.
It divides into five very distinct regions. Maybe seven. I don't even know.
So the PA Grotto Association meeting coming up here is in Erie, PA, and I used to live in Titusville, Pennsylvania. I was not a Mason then, and
allowed to return?
Well, I mean,
he's allowed to drive through, but he can't stop.
I almost want to see if I can recruit a couple of brothers to stop in at Titusville Lodge if the timing works, because it's a small town, small community. It's an interesting place, and it's got a lot of good history going on.
Oh yeah,
and so if we can, maybe
it's where the petrochemical industry started.
It is the Drake Oil Well started in Titusville, Pennsylvania. I used to live up that way, it's a fun place to go back to. I think it'd be nice to go back and sort of see it, and if I can recruit some podcast hosts to go with me and do and check it out.
Larry's available.
To go to PGA in Erie?
Oh, yeah, and stop at Titusville on the way.
Yeah. Hey, the PA Quarterly Communication in June is out there.
Yeah, it's in Erie. Erie's going to be rocking.
Yeah, it is.
So you don't want to be that close to Lake Erie when the weather gets hot.
Yeah. Or cold.
Or cold.
Or so I've actually been to 9 different states, okay. Mostly when I was working full time and traveling around a lot. And I concur with what you said. It's great just to see similarities, differences, meeting brothers from all over. Being admitted into some of these lodges is really interesting. I tell people from Pennsylvania, if you go outside of the state, you need to listen to the questions they ask. Oh, yeah. Because they're not going to ask you what you think they're asking you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't listen, you're going to give them the wrong answer.
And they're all different.
They are all different. But generally speaking, just pay attention and listen. I have to tell you one fun story, and I'm not going to I'll tell you the states I've been to. I've been to Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, Ohio, Virginia, and the District of Columbia. One of those states I went to visit a lodge in, and I always contact usually the secretary before I show up just to say, hey, I'm going to be in town. I understand you got a meeting coming up tomorrow or 3 days from now or next week or whatever. I'm going to be in the state. I'd like to attend your stated meeting just to give them a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
So this one state that I won't mention, I did that. And I showed up that night, and Tyler, you know, showing my dues card, and he's scurrying around, and I can only imagine he's probably trying to find somebody to, you know, do the thing. And he comes back, and the master comes out, and or maybe it was a past master. I don't know. Anyway, he came back, and he says, "Can I see your dues card again?" Yeah. He looks at it. And he says, "Oh, hell, you're from Pennsylvania. Come on in."
Yeah. Cuts a lot of borders.
We went through some of that when I was down visiting a Cypress Lodge in Naples, Naples, Florida. They, we had a little bit of a back and forth of where ritual differs. And we came to eye to eye. All was well. But one cool thing they do down there is they give you a courtesy card. And so if you once you've gone through their examination, you are known to them. You can hold on to your courtesy card, and if you come back down with your dues card and the courtesy card, you can say, "Oh, you know, I am known." Nice. And it's sort of
nice.
That's a great idea, you know, and a souvenir.
Yeah,
right.
So if you want your lodge to do something cool, I would encourage more lodges to do this courtesy card, and you could turn it into a collector's game.
Oh, that's cool.
How many courtesy cards could I collect from lodges that do this?
That's a better idea than I think you think it is.
I
bet if we turned on the guys at Amity
on
this would be something that could be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot cheaper than a challenge coin, and it's something cool to collect, right? And it makes you feel – it really does – it's in with the rest of my dues cards because it's a Masonic body that has welcomed me, maybe not as a full standing brother, but as – in some sense, I know these men are known to me. I am known to them. I can go back. That's cool. It is a good feeling.
I mean, yeah.
And so more lodges should definitely do this.
That's a really
cool because how many idea. How many all times right. have we, even in Pennsylvania, and I know I do this all the time. I go to a lodge that I've never been before, and it's like, "Do you know anyone here?" "Well, I don't know. Let me see who's in the room, and I'll tell you." And chances are I might know someone, but a lot of chances I don't.
Sure.
But I think that's an awesome idea. One thing I will caution, however, was this also happened. I will hear a remark, however, that prior to attending a lodge outside of the jurisdiction of Pennsylvania, you should always ask your secretary to verify that the lodge you're about to visit is in the Book of Lodges,
yes,
also known as the Amity Book now, or the Acacia Book. Acacia Book. I'm sorry. Double check. Just because there are some clandestine lodges out there that are not in harmony with the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania. And suffice it to say, I almost ended up in one of those. And on my way to this lodge, I called someone and said, "Hey, could you check your book real quick?" And it's like, "No, that lodge is not in there."
Don't want to go
there. Okay. Yeah. So I turned around and went back to the hotel. But just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Most of it you can check online.
You can generally check it online.
Grand Lodge has a good...
If you have the Amity app, Amity does a good job of... Yeah. You put in what lodge you're wanting to attend. They'll tell you... They'll say, "What jurisdiction are you in?" And then it'll tell you whether or not you have... What is it? It's not Harmony. It's something else. It's...
Amity?
Amity.
Imagine that. Yeah. You have Amity.
It's so, almost like the word has a meaning.
Isn't that something?
Well, Tim, if you showed up anyways and they had plaid shirts and ripped off jean shorts, you probably knew that something was fishy about that.
Well, I don't know. I've been to some lodges.
Depends on what state you're in, man.
Yeah, you go south, you go south,
you go west, man. I mean, I tell you.
So, Ricky, are you saying that Thunder Down Under in Vegas is a lodge?
it probably is.
It's a special lodge.
That is.
It's an affinity lodge. That's what.
So, what you're saying is, so I don't wear my tux when I go to other states?
I don't know, but what's what is Millersville Lodge's budget for body oil?
Oh, goodness.
We love you, Millersburg.
You know, that's that brings up another point, which is, and it's part of our instruction here, is that whenever you're outside of your home lodge, you should always, and this is part of our teaching, you do what you've been taught. You don't try to do what other people are doing.
Right.
And so there are some signs and so on that we do, and we do them very differently than other jurisdictions. And
that was on display at Garibaldi Lodge.
Yes, I'm quite sure.
Yeah. It was odd to see our rightful deputy grandmaster.
Yeah, our deputy grandmaster stepped up in front of the altar when he was being received, and he threw the correct Pennsylvania signs.
Right.
And you could see everybody around us was kind of like,
he didn't do something.
There was a gasp.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You do your work. You do you.
We have some gentlemen that come visit us from a jurisdiction outside of Pennsylvania occasionally, and we've made it a practice that when they come and when they do their thing the first time, we say, just so you all are aware, they're from a jurisdiction that's a little different than us. They're, you know, we're in amity with them, but they do what they were taught. We do what we were taught.
Yeah.
Very important.
That's the right way to do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more about Masonic travel.
As far back as the mid-1800s, records exist describing the pre-meeting tradition of brethren smoking cigars during and after gatherings. To this day, the practice of smoking cigars remains very much alive in many lodges. This custom is considered a time for brethren to relax, exchange ideas, and enjoy the simplicity and fellowship that is the very essence of our brotherhood. This is what Hireman Solomon Cigars is all about. Our starting principles are to bring Masonic brethren together in the harmony of a good cigar. Pull up a chair, sit back, light up any of our premium cigars, and enjoy the history. Hireman Solomon Cigars can be found at fine cigar retailers. For a complete list, visit HiremanSolomonCigars.com or check them out on social media to find out when they'll be at a live event near you. Hireman Solomon Cigars is pleased to be the official cigar of the Masonic Light Podcast.
And we're back.
It sounds so bad.
Oh. We are back, and man, once again, we've had a great episode while you were on commercial.
This we're not making the sausage; we're making scrapple here
exactly.
tonight.
We're making scrapple. So we left. We were talking about Masonic travel, and I got to tell you a story. Visiting a lodge in a jurisdiction that I had visited before, but the traveling companion that I was with had not visited. So we went into the. We came into the lodge room, showed our dues cards, got past that step, and I went into the room for the examination, and I told them, I said, now, I've been to a lodge in this jurisdiction before, so I know the questions you're going to ask, but this other guy that's with me, he won't listen. He won't listen to your questions, and he'll give you the wrong answer, so have some fun with it. So needless to say, I passed the examination. I said, all right, bring him in. I'm just going to stand over here in the corner. And of course, when they asked him a specific question, he didn't listen. And he gave him the wrong answer. And of course, then they very dramatically let him know that they hadn't given the correct answer. And he looked at me like he'd been seen a ghost or something. And he's like, what do I do? And I said, you need to listen to the question. At which time he was like, oh, and he was able to give the correct response. But anyway, that was kind of a setup.
It's always good when the story has a happy ending.
Yes.
So again, like I will not name the brother, and I will not name the lodge because, Peter and I were traveling up in the north, and we had a brother with us.
Beyond the wall.
Beyond the wall.
Beyond the wall.
And we went through our examinations, and it was fine, and we told this other brother, now when you go in, you must prepare yourself as you would for the first degree. So the senior warden opens the door to the examination room to go to see him, and what the hell? He's standing there prepared as he would for the first degree.
Nice. Wow.
So, yes, that's
a chilly. That's a better story than mine.
It was a cold room.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was great. Well, that's fun.
All right, so... What?
The coolest thing. Coolest thing you've seen.
That's what I was going to say. Right. Do that.
Coolest thing. So when I was traveling with my wife in Italy, we were in Florence. And I had set it up through the podcast. We had a listener that
told me this.
That checked in. I told the story a long time ago on the show. But I said on Facebook that I was going to Italy, and I wished I had an opportunity to set up going to a lodge. But it's too late. I'll never get it done. And somebody commented on my post, brother, if you want to go to a lodge in Italy, you just say the word. Where are you going to be and when? And I'll make sure. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah. So it was a Canadian listener who has friends who are brothers in Italy. And through that connection.
That makes sense.
Through the show. So it started with the show, and it went to Canada, and then
through the UN.
So I ended up. I couldn't get into a lodge meeting in Florence, but I got into the Grand Lodge building and I looked around, which previously to being the Grand Lodge of Florence was, Piazza Palazzo of the Sforza family, I believe, which were like major league hitters in Renaissance Florence. I mean, they were the financiers. I think it was their bank and the Medici's or something like that. They were fighting over it. But this building was breathtaking. I mean, it was all this Baroque architecture that just screamed symbol all through the building, big domed rooms with angels and, you know, serifs and all that stuff. And then there were like five different lodge rooms built into the building around, you know, they were all very small, like smaller than the studio. This would be one of many of the lodge rooms. And so we got to walk around. At the end of it, I wanted to take a picture so I could post something on Facebook and thank everybody. And they're like, oh, no pictures. No, you take the building, not the face. And so that was cool. And then when I was on a work trip in Germany, there's a big woodworking machinery fair in Hanover, and we were staying a little bit outside Hanover in a town called Celle. And I looked up Celle, and I said, what do you know? There's a lodge. So I reached out to the lodge in Celle, and it's about a mile and a half from where we're staying. And I contacted the Worshipful Master, and they picked me up. They brought me to the building. It was this beautiful old Tudor, you know, building back. Gorgeous. Just the layout.
Larry, turn your phone off.
Was that me? That might have been me. But anyway, it was a great night. I might even have told that story on the show long ago. It was in Hanover, or it was in Celle. And Celle was in that section of Germany, which after the war was divided out. You know, Germany was divided into quarters. Mm-hmm. And that quarter of Germany was basically under the British control. So they put in all these British lodges. So they're English-speaking lodges under the Grand Lodge of Germany. So it's a really complicated kind of scenario. But yeah, it was just fun. It was very welcoming. It had a nice dinner and stuff. And they actually opened and closed all 3 degrees because they needed the practice.
Oh, cool.
That was like, we're going to turn this into rehearsal.
That is very German.
We're going to open every lodge. We're going to close every lodge. And we're going to went right through it. So I actually got to sit in 3 different degrees because they opened it and were okay and then closed it.
That is the most German thing I've heard.
Right? I mean, but they want to make sure that they get it right. And it was kind of cool to see. But,
and anyway. Any lodge that wants to have Masonic Lights host come out and see your thing, just send airfare. We only travel first class. We must stay in a 5-star hotel.
MasonicLightPodcast@gmail.com.
I want a Masonic Lice t-shirt.
Masonic Lice. I like it. Masonic
Lice. I'm going to avoid that one. As a former middle school teacher, you try to avoid that at all costs.
Anyway,
we smell a special comb.
Right.
But I've been a couple places up and down the East Coast. One, I think I was in North Carolina. It was either North Carolina or Georgia. I think it was
Those
North
are
Carolina.
Close.
Because it was for business, so it's one or the other.
Yeah.
And I went in. It was Georgia. It was Duluth. I went in and they didn't know what to do. They were so excited to have a visitor.
Yeah.
They were beside themselves. They were like, oh my God, somebody's coming. Oh my God. Bobby, come over here. It's a visitor. Nobody knows him. We got to do that thing. And they like back and forth and they're like, okay, we got to, anybody know this thing? We got to, no, I don't know. Hey, wait. I got this. I got this. One guy comes over and he gets up on me and he goes, okay, are you a Mason? I said, yes.
Careful.
I know. Stopping there. He said, what made you a Mason? And he was grumbling around. He was like, okay, what is it? Hell, do you have the secret word? And that was the whole thing just broke down to that. It was just like, okay, come on in, you're fine. And that was really fun meeting in Duluth back in the day.
So I've got two really cool stories. One was with Pete. All stories with Pete have fun in them somewhere. So we were on the Ubar Grotto cruise. And I actually do remember this part. Well, there's a lot of that cruise I don't remember, but this part I do. We pull into the Bahamas, and from the cruise ship, if you ever come into the port there, you can see this. You can see the Grand Lodge of the Bahamas. It's a pink building. It's got a pink facade.
Aren't they all pink buildings?
Big square G encompass up on top of it. And so it was like, I think Pete said, hey, let's go see that building while we're out wandering around. So we went and did the touristy things and up and down before we went to Senor Frogs to drink for the rest of the afternoon. But we walk over there, and there's a gate. There's a wrought iron gate, a wrought iron fence all the way around it. But there's a gate, and the gate is ajar. It's open. So I said, ooh, the gate's open. He goes, we can't go in there. I said, we're going in there. So we walk down this little sidewalk, and there's a door. And we knock on the door, as any Mason would knock. And he's going, nobody's here. Let's get out of here. We're not supposed to be in here. I said, let's wait. So we waited about 30 seconds, and the door opens. Turns out it was the Grand Master. And so we told him
who the door.
It was great. So we told him who we were. We told him we're off the cruise ship. We're from Pennsylvania, blah, blah, blah. And he was so happy to see us, and he gave us a tour of the building, and it was really cool.
Cool.
And that was a really neat experience. The other cool experience, and anyone who is a sitting master, I would encourage you to do this. Go to a jurisdiction outside of Pennsylvania. I went to a lodge in Kentucky when I was a sitting master, and I'm in the room, and unlike Pennsylvania lodges, they introduced the guests first, right at the beginning of the meeting. And so they're going around the room and they're, you know, brother such and such from such and such lodge in Louisville and such lodge here and there and there. And we'd like to welcome Worshipful Master Timothy C. Deadman, Worshipful Master of Eureka West Shore Lodge number 302 in Mechanicsburg. Approach the east, brother. And so I thought, okay, cool. They're going to just welcome me and whatever. And I go up there and I shake his hand and whatever. And he says, my brother, join me in the East.
Yep.
And you sit next to the master for the whole meeting.
I had that in Maryland.
That was cool. That was cool.
That's cool. The first meeting that we had with our brothers at Amicable St. John's in Cockeysville, Maryland, number 25, they did that to me. And he sat me. I didn't know what to do. But you just take your seat and you've got that perspective on the room. It's very
freaking
cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But that kind of travel is so important. I tell the story, I don't know how many times I've told it on the show, but we had a fellow who worked for New Holland Tractor here in New Holland, PA. And he was receiving his third degree. And his father was the past Grand Orator of Wales.
Like?
Wales, like.
Over
there. Like UK, yeah.
Yeah.
And, not the big fish, Tim.
And his father came over for his third degree.
Cool.
And it was very cool. He shows up. All of his regalia is green, like emerald green, and with fringes and garland and gauntlets. Cuffs and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like so decked out. He was bulletproof. This guy had stuff all over him. And when the degree, the Pennsylvania third degree, when it was all over, and everybody's congratulating everybody and moving downstairs, I said, so what did you think? And he said, and I've told this story, you've heard this 100 times, Jay. He said, well, all the bits are there. They're rearranged a bit, but they're all there. It's a bit like painting of the same subject, but by a different artist.
Interesting.
And I just thought
that's a great way to put it.
Can't imagine a better way to describe Masonic ritual around the world.
Yeah, that is a fantastic analogy. Amazing. I usually hate analogies. That is flawless. Yeah. No notes.
It is.
I love that.
Yeah.
And so. Anyway, that's one of the cool things about this is just being able to go anywhere in the world and be welcomed. Eventually, he might have to beat on the door a while.
Yeah,
but it's indescribable, really.
Jake,
Say one of the best things about it though is also the personal connections you make.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you make friends with these brothers. You might have a brother that moves somewhere that you haven't seen in a while, and it gives just a reason for a trip.
Yeah.
So like when I want to go see my buddy Tim down in Florida, the fact that you know we can go visit these lodges down there, that's just a great reason to sell it.
I'm gonna put out a challenge to that point.
Yeah, sure.
Lost friends, right?
Yeah.
I have a friend from college. His name is Keith Pittman. Lives in Little Rock, or outside of Little Rock, Arkansas. And if Keith reaches out to me and says, I hear you said on the podcast that you wanted to come out and go to lodge with me. If Keith called me and says that, then I will go out and see Keith. Which means
if you want to ride along for that trip, I'll go.
Which means listeners got to get to Keith Pittman in Arkansas and tell him that he needs to get in touch with me because that's a fun challenge.
I love that challenge, and I'm going to match it. Right. I think this is a good thing. I'm going to match this with my cousin. His name is David Warford. He and I had talked about joining the fraternity for several years. He had an uncle on his mother's side or his dad's side, I can't remember which, that was a Mason. My dad was a Mason, but my parents were divorced, so we really didn't. We knew about Freemasonry. We had never really gotten to talk deeply about it. He calls me one night and he says, I'm joining a lodge. And I'm like, cool. What's it about? Well, don't really know a whole lot yet, but whatever. He goes, I don't know much. I said, well, share with me what you think. So he calls me back after he gets, I think after he got his first degree. And he goes, Tim, you got to do this. This is so up your alley. And I'm like, how do I do this? He says, go to the local hospital, sit next to the elevator, and wait for an old man to come off with a Masonic hat on. And they'll have a petition. So
for all our listeners looking to join the fraternity, is the bulletproof way to
approach. I loved it. Wow. Now, I thought it was going to be a more sophisticated way than that, and I did that. But my challenge is to my cousin David Warford in Kentucky. Call me and tell me you want to go to Lodge. I will come there.
We will go
to Lodge.
I will also go to Kentucky with you.
Sounds like a road trip. It does. You know, possibilities.
Yeah. Something. Anybody else want to match that challenge?
Anyway.
Josh?
I'll go with you if it happens.
<All right>. Let's be real. We just want to go to Kentucky.
It is bourbon country after all.
We just want to go.
Can we go to Kentucky and look for him?
Absolutely. We can.
We checked all the distilleries. We couldn't find him anywhere.
Oh, goodness. All right. So,
any other thoughts?
Any other comments, thoughts on Masonic travels?
Anything for the good of this podcast in general or Freemasonry?
This podcast in particular? Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take one more quick break. I think we've got Dutchy Doug coming up. And then I think Walter is coming in with some news, and we'll wrap up tonight's episode.
Why, yes. Yes, he is.
All right. We'll be right back.
Looking for a way to show your Masonic pride and affiliation, but also want to have a relaxed look? Two Pillars Apparel is a Masonic-owned company that incorporates sports apparel with Freemasonry. Check out their current lines from Blue Lodge, as well as the appendant bodies York and Scottish Rite. Two Pillars Apparel is always adding new designs and items. Check in today to get a baseball or hockey jersey, or one of their new Scottish Rite lapel pins or hoodies. Two Pillars Apparel works for Lodge social functions or going to the game. Visit them at twopillarsapparel.com. That's T-W-O, pillarsapparel.com.
Hello, brethren. Dutchy Duck is here with another story from my lodge, the Broken Claw number 377. We had quite the goings-on at our March meeting here recently, and I want to tell you all about it. Do you guys know the word foreshadowing? We didn't, but we do now. For our March meeting, we had a first degree on the trestle board, and we were all excited to be bringing in young Jeremiah Nyland to the craft. He's the son and grandson of current members. Now, as many of you know, it is customary for some Masons to razz any new member with stories of what to expect during their initiation. And given our agricultural background, many jokes about goats being involved were told to young Jeremiah. Some of the brethren had Jeremiah so worked up before the degree that he was visibly nervous as he entered the preparing room. As we opened the lodge and prepared the hall for the degree, we were all settled in and excited to make a new entered apprentice. As young Jeremiah came on, duly prepared with his guide, we all watched closely. We were all so concentrated on the floor work that none of us noticed that the one outside door in the southeast corner of the lodge was cracked open. As Jeremiah and his guide were making their laps, wouldn't you know who happened to wander into the room? Why, one of Old Lady Gizama's goats. I think his name was Buppy. I've heard her yell at that goat before. Anyway, in strolled the goat, and before we noticed, he let out a good loud bleh. You should have seen Jeremiah jump. Hell, we all jumped. Visions of all the terrible stories and jokes that we told Jeremiah came flooding into our heads. One of the brothers on the sideline tried to discreetly grab the goat to take him outside. But what many of you city folk don't know is that goats are pretty darn agile and ornery. Old Buppy had no intentions of being led anywhere. Jeremiah's guide, Brother Orson Fearing, whispered in Jeremiah's ear, "Stand fast and await further instruction." Jeremiah yelled out, "I ain't going anywhere, and neither are you." He then yelled out, "Pop, what the heck did you get me into?" I jumped up from behind the secretary's desk in an attempt to catch Old Buffy. I used to be a pro at goat wrangling, but that was many moons ago. Buffy must have been listening outside the lodge for some time, because he knew exactly where to go. He quickly bolted west, headbutted the junior master of ceremonies, and took his staff. Now Buppy was armed and dangerous. What were we to do? For whatever reason, one of the brothers on the sideline, Sammy Gale Riva, just happened to have some carrots in his pants pocket. He pulled them out and showed them to Buppy. Buppy's eyes lit up, and quickly quickly dropped the staff and wandered over to Sammy. Brother Sammy grabbed Bubby and led him out the south gate to return to old Lady Gizama. After all the excitement was over, we completed the decree and Jeremiah was brought to life. From now on, we will be more cognizant of truly tiling all of the lodge before we open up. I guess the old Pennsylvania Dutch adage of learn by doing was proven correct again. Till next time, work hard, stay plumb, and on the lights when you leave the room. To learn more about the Pennsylvania Dutch language, culture, and history, please visit my website, padutch101.com, or my YouTube channel. Just search for Doug Maidenford or PA Dutch 101.
In Masonic news today, the Grand Lodge of Central New York has announced a ban on any fundraising on a lodge's OnlyFans page. Eastern Star officials have announced a similar ban, while recruitment has fallen over the past several months. In related news, Grottos International is sponsoring an expenses-paid Caribbean cruise, but refused to say where it's going. That's the Masonic news. So mote it was.
Oh my God. Walter, you had to end yourself. Oh my gosh.
Some news I didn't know I needed.
Well, bam.
That was fantastic.
That was great, Walter. Thank you very much. Right. Okay.
They're better when I don't think about them too much.
Ricky, what do you got coming up Masonically?
Oh, well, we do have Ubar Grotto this coming Sunday.
There Convivial.
Yes.
If you're listening to this episode, it was last night.
You know what? You're right. You know what? I had a fantastic
time. Whoa.
That was the most memorable evening ever. I do have next week. I got Scottish Rite has their degrees for their spring reunion. We have practices for the degrees. I mean, quite a few for those. May 2nd, I have a commandery meeting.
All right, keep it short.
May 6th, our chapter meeting with the Mosex of Grand High Priest, Jason Craig, will be there for that. Our Blue Lodge meeting on May 7th at Harrisburg Snyder Lodge, 629.
Come on, Tim.
We got our Scottish Rite meeting on May 10th. And May 11th is Aaron Council.
Jesus, you got more stuff than I do.
It's a lot of stuff.
Jack.
It's going to be busy.
Nothing.
Oh, really?
No, I'm trying to get us closed.
All right.
Yeah, no, we got four-thirds coming up.
Pass it off going around.
Go, Jay.
Four-thirds coming up, second Tuesday of the month, Effort
Holy
Lodge meeting.
Cow,
that's it.
Four-thirds.
Four-thirds.
Wow.
Correct. You're going to have to stop the clock.
Boom. No, we're not going to do them all in one night. It'll be two nights.
All right. Jay.
I'm also going to be at Ubar Grotto's Meat Fest and looking forward to...
Meat and sleaze.
Yeah. Yeah, prime get some rib. Of that good gravy.
Prime rib.
Very good. Josh.
What time is Grotto?
4 o'clock cigars. 6 o'clock.
Cigars at 4, cocktails at 5, dinner at 6, meeting at 7. Home by 9. On by 8:30.
You can be there.
You guys
you're across the freaking bridge from
well,
it.
Well, no. I have something going on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I really want to go to Grotto, though.
All right.
But I might be there at the very end. I'll miss it.
Should you at any time receive a summons to the Grotto? With the seal attached.
I'm sorry.
Okay, the only things I'll mention is on Saturday, May the 4th, you have nothing else to do. And you're in the central Pennsylvania area.
Saturday.
Come to the Big Valley of Harrisburg for the Kentucky Derby Party. It will begin shortly after all the other meetings Ricky and I have that morning. But it'll be a good time to be had by all. We'll watch 2 minutes of a horse race. And continue with the festivities into the night.
Can I wear my fancy hat?
You can.
Nice.
It is a it's a family event, and it's also open to non-Masons. You can go to valleyofharrisburg.org for more information.
Am I willing to blow off my daughter's birthday party for this?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Sorry, honey. Daddy's playing the ponies.
Daddy's playing the ponies
Drinking
today.
Mint julep.
All right, and then May 17th and 18th, the aforementioned Big Valley of Harrisburg reunion. Scottish Rite. If you need, I don't know what all degrees we're doing, but you can check that out on the website too. And then on Sunday, May 19th, is the next meeting of Cigar Lodge Number 1.
Ooh.
And that will be at Cigars International.
I think I can actually make that one.
Jack, like, if you're going on, it's carpool.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds fun.
Cool. All right. Larry's not here. How do we end this episode
with Larry impressions. Not here?
I think we just turn off the mics.
No, I think we have to play some chickens.
Play the chickens, Larry impressions,
Larry
and
impressions.
Then fade to black. That's it.
Special thanks to Everett Lodge number 665 for allowing us to utilize the space.
Why is it so cold?
Last time I went to a seafood dinner, they ran out of shrimp.
My leg hurts, my back hurts, I gotta pee.
How the hell do you turn this thing off?
Carol!
Carol!
You know, when I was in the bathroom, the floor was wet.
Oh, no! Can somebody fix that, please?
All right, that's the best closing we've ever had. All right, this is Tim.
This is Rick.
Jack.
Jay.
Jacob.
Josh.
Goodbye, everybody.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
His name is my name, too.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. In the Hotel California. Do, 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 do. You can't leave it.
We should do outfits.
You can't leave at night.
Oh, I hope that. Well, I see the counter going, so maybe we are recording.